Again, together we're going to look into the Word of God to attempt to discover truth. And we know that God has written the Bible in such a way that we have to read it very carefully, comparing Scripture with Scripture, to make sure that what we are finally concluding is faithful to the Word of God. Because it would be a terrible thing to say, "Thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not said." Now, as we've been going through the book of Jeremiah very, very slowly, sometimes a little more quickly, but trying to cover every verse, trying not to avoid any of the difficult passages, but attempting to discover really what is God saying. Now, we've come to Jeremiah 28, and we read there a very, very interesting chapter. It came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring them again to this place, Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Now, here we have the introduction of a very, very interesting account. The context is, or the timing here is, that Jeremiah, if you remember from our last chapter, for the past 15 years, from everything we can discover here, he had been carrying a wooden yoke around his neck, demonstrating the fact that even as he was carrying that yoke, so Israel was under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that they were out to serve Babylon, because God had ordained that judgment had come on Judah, and they were go out to Babylon. God had told Jeremiah in verse 8 of Jeremiah 27, "And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine, with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, Ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nation that brings its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, it will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein," and so on. All right, now we went into that in detail in our last study, and we saw that what God was teaching here was that at this point, as he's talking to the nation of Judah at that time, and remember that the book of Jeremiah is focused right on our day, on the church age, it's a time when we must remember we cannot serve God in the churches any longer. You cannot serve God there any longer, because Satan rules there. He is the king. And the churches throughout the church age have always been ultimately under the king, the king, rule of Christ. He was the king of the church. But Satan has been able to come in and infiltrate the churches with those who are the terrors, who are still under his authority. But nevertheless, Christ was the ruler in the churches. But as Satan developed stronger and stronger, finally in God's timetable, he came to this day of judgment that began with the end of the church age. And he said, you must serve Babylon. And this has always been true. Remember, we talked about that. It's been always been true that as believers, we serve the kingdom of Satan secularly. That is, outside of spiritual activity. When it has to do with political activity and social activity and buying and selling in the marketplace and so on, and that is the secular world. And of course we serve Babylon. Satan rules in the nations, or has always ruled in the nations, but we're never to serve him spiritually. And we saw this really emphasized in our last study. And now that the churches have come under the rule of Satan, Christ has abandoned his rule over the churches as the king of the church. Therefore, we cannot be in the churches anymore. You have to get out. You're under the yoke of Babylon, but you have to leave the local congregation and get out in the world. And this is the sense of what we're finding here in the book of Jeremiah. But for 15 years now, this has been going on. It started out in the reign of the first king, Jehoiakim, and now it's clear on into the reign of Zedekiah, who was the last king who reigned over Judah. He's still wearing that yoke. And he had indicated in verse 22 of Jeremiah 27, using the figure of the vessels that were in the temple. And remember, in our last study, we saw that those vessels represented the true believers. They shall be carried to Babylon, and that is whatever still remains in Judah, whatever still remains in the churches who are the true believers, they will be taken out. They cannot remain there, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. And we know from the rest of the Bible that the restoration occurs at the right near the end of the great tribulation period. Now this is beginning to sound confused. I'm going to back up and I'm going to outline this again. We are in a time of learning many, many new things, and the Bible approaches these things from many vantage points. And so again and again, I want to set forth the structure so that we can fit the pieces into place. I use the figure of a giant jigsaw puzzle, and you wonder where does this piece fit and where does that piece fit? And only if you have a picture of the whole finished product can you have any idea where you're going at all. But the situation is that this period of great tribulation is the beginning of God's judgment day. Let's look at that in Genesis. Let's look at that in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, and people puzzle about this sometimes, in Genesis chapter 1, it says that there was evening and morning day one, or evening and morning, and it was the fourth day. And we know because they're regulated by the sun and the moon and the planets, this great celestial clock, we know that the day was 24 hours. And then God said in Genesis chapter 2, he says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended the work which he had done. And he rested on that seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work, which God created and made. All right, now that's the end of 7 days of 24 hours. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now that word day is the same word day that's used throughout Genesis chapter 1, in the day. And so now he's using the day to include the whole period of creation. Now God here is showing us how he uses a word like the word day. There is the day of the Lord in the sense that we sometimes think of it as the final judgment day, the day that God appears on the clouds of glory to end this earth's existence, and it will be a day. But God also uses the language of the Bible in speaking about the day as the entire period of judgment, the entire period of judgment. And where did judgment begin? Where did judgment begin? Judgment begins with the house of God. When did it begin? Right at the time of the end of the church age, when God abandoned the churches and came into the churches in his spirit to begin the judging, the preparation for the final day of the Lord. But already then we are in the day of the Lord, the day of judgment. And this expands our vocabulary quite a bit, or expands our understanding of the Bible. Whenever we read this word day of the Lord, we don't necessarily have to be thinking of the final day, the final day when Christ appears, but we are thinking about God's judgment day, which includes the whole period that identifies as the period of great tribulation. So here we see that, going back to Jeremiah 27 in verse 22, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. And this place, if we look, for example, at Jeremiah 7, verse 7, this place can relate to physical Jerusalem, but in actuality, in this context, it's talking about the place as the kingdom of God. Same word, this place, in verse 7 of Jeremiah 7. Then will I cause you to bring to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. And we don't dwell in the church, the local congregation, forever and ever. Israel did not dwell in the land of Judah forever and ever. The only place that we serve forever and ever, or dwell forever and ever, is in the kingdom of God. Again, we might just note in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah 29, verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and causing you to return to this place. Same phrase, this place. Now, here, again, the translators, we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating and repeating and repeating, because this is all new information to all of us. The word after is the incorrect word that is used there in the Hebrew. It is on the edge, like the edge of a sword, as we read in Jeremiah 21, verse 7, that at the edge of the 70 years have been accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. And the edge of the sword is, of course, the part of the sword itself. The edge of 70 years is part of the 70 years. Remember, the 70 years are typifying the period of great tribulation, which in turn are speaking of Judgment Day. They're all tied together. That is, at the end of, right near the end of the Judgment Day, then I will cause you to return. That is, within that period of judgment, there is a time of great harvest. And this is what complicates all of this language so badly. We've indicated that, yes, there is this judgment day that began with the end of the church age and ends with the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end. But simultaneously within that period, there is a returning to the place that is into the kingdom of God. That is, there is a great harvest of believers, a great multitude which no man can number that is going on. It is the final ingathering of all the believers. That is happening within that 70-year period, that period of great tribulation, which in our day turns out to be a period of 23 years. And that is what is happening. Okay, now, at that time, finally, in Jeremiah 27, we saw that in the Jeremiah said to Zedekiah in verse 12, Jeremiah 27, verse 12. This is where we are tying back into what Jeremiah 28 is talking about. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine? And so on. Verse 14, therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Now that's been the constant battle here between Jeremiah and the prophets and the priests and the theologians of his day. They have all been trying to contradict what he is saying. No, you've got to serve. You have to serve Babylon. Yeah, you don't serve him spiritually, but the arena in which you normally serve God, you have to come out of. You have to get out of Judah. You have to get out of Jerusalem. Well, then, as we go in now into chapter 28, it came to pass the same year, and apparently this, what's going to follow, is a follow-up on what Zedekiah, or what Jeremiah has just spoken of in verse 12. I spoke unto Zedekiah the king according to these words. Because this is talking about something that happened in the fourth year, verse 1 of 28, fourth year in the fifth month of Zedekiah. And here he has been wearing this yoke. Jeremiah has been wearing this yoke for 15 years. You can just well imagine what an opportunity this gave him to warn, because everyone looked at him and said, look at him. And Jeremiah, why are you wearing that? Well, let me tell you, my dear brother, why I'm wearing that. And he could go into a very, very definite warning. We are to be under the yoke of Babylon. God told me to put this yoke on. And this is the way God was giving direction in that day. Remember, they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have the Bible. There was even a copy of what was already written was very, very rare. There was even a time in the days of Josiah. Remember the King Josiah? He had never seen the Bible until they were cleaning out the temple after his father had ruined it so badly, and he was cleaning it out, and they found a copy of the Bible. For the first time, he read it, and he was weeping and carrying on, because, oh, how terrible. Look how we violated the law of God. Look at how we violated the law of God. Now, and so they didn't have the Word of God like we have it. We have the Bible to look at. So the prophet that was of God had to demonstrate and And God used this very unique way to call attention to what he was teaching. And he writes about it in the Bible to call our attention to what he was teaching. Well, okay, now here comes a prophet. And present there in Jeremiah 28, we find that there are all the priests. This is a very big occasion of some kind. The priests are there in the presence, in verse 1, in the presence of the priests and of all the people. In other words, there was a gathering of some kind. And Hananiah has a big message. He is recognized as a prophet. And he says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." My, my. Sounds exactly the way Jeremiah came again and again. As he's saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." He has the right formula. He has the right language. He has the right bearing. He looks like a prophet. He talks like a prophet. And now he has a great big piece of information that all the people are going to be delighted. And you can almost hear them clapping and jumping up and up and down for joy when he makes the announcement. God has told me, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Joy, happiness, wonder. We're finally going to come out from under this siege. Remember, this is the fourth year of Zedekiah. In another 7 years, they're going to be totally destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar. And so the pressure is coming on. People have already been taken captive. There's been a lot of Jews killed. A lot of the little villages around Jerusalem have already been destroyed by the Babylonians. The carnage is developing and developing and developing. But he still has a wonderful message. Within 2 full years, verse 3 of Jeremiah 28, "Will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon, and I will bring them to this place, Jeconiah, who, as you remember, he was the first king taken captive by Babylon, and he was living in Babylon. I will bring him back to Jerusalem with all the captives of Judah, all those that had already been taken captive that went into Babylon, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." All right. Now, here you have the priests and all the people standing there. There are two prophets. On the one hand, there is Jeremiah, who just ahead of this had said in verse 12 of Jeremiah 27, I spoke also unto Zedekiah, the same king of Judah, saying, "Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die?" And hearken, in verse 14, "Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that say, that speak unto you, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you, for I have not sent them." Well, now you see, Hananiah is very clever, very clever. He's not contradicting that, but he's saying, in 2 years this is going to happen. In other words, he is indicating it's going to change. Don't expect it tomorrow, but there's going to be a big change, and this is going to be an enormous encouragement to the people, and they will continue in the paths that they have been following, and they won't be listening to Jeremiah anymore, because this is good news. This is the great news. And how could you tell whether he is a true prophet or not? Well, you can wait 2 years. 2 years. We've come to the end of our time, and so we can't go any further with this program. We trust that you will look into the Bible and read these things we've been talking about. Check it out to make sure that what you are hearing on this program is faithful to the Word of God, because finally, the only authority is the Bible.